Thank you for listening in to The Week on Dalal Street, our stock market podcast. Over the next 15 minutes, we'll look back at the action during the week and the key things to keep an eye out for in the week ahead. I'm Santosh Nair, and to give you all the lowdown and highlights of what happened in the market during the week, I have with me Anuj Singhal, Managing Editor, CNBC Awaaz. Anuj, pleasure as always to be chatting to you.
Santosh, good to be with you as always, and look forward to our chat.
Yes. So Anuj, a strong comeback by the bulls across the globe, and this is despite enough indicators that things are only likely to get worse here on. The Fed appears to be set to hike interest rates by another 75 basis points at its next meet. Bank of England has warned of a risk to the UK's financial stability, and back home you have rupee making new lows, inflation climbing, and yet bulls are confident. So what exactly is giving them this confidence?
I think the fact that the bulls believe that it is a bull market and it will climb all wall of worries, Santosh, at least back home. Look, in the US, the bounce was purely technical in nature because it was oversold market. In fact, the S&P did make a 52-week low before we had that bounce. The low was a fresh 52-week low for the S&P 500. And the positioning was extremely bearish. Everyone had fear going into the event that inflation would be red hot. Inflation was red hot, but positioning and B, the fact that it's not inching up, it's been coming up from 8.4 to 8.3 to 8.2 is giving some hope that maybe the peak inflation is out there. And if peak is over for inflation, then I think that's good news, right? With the combination of interest rate hike and inflation coming off, perhaps you will see bond yields also reaching their terminal rates soon. So that's what the market's betting on. I think back home, the market's betting on the fact that whether you look at the IMF numbers or whether you look at any other number, that India clearly stands out. Among the emerging markets, it's the only market which does not have problems. A problem like China, a problem like Brazil of election, a problem with Russia, where you just can't invest now. South Africa, which is not large enough. So among large liquid markets, India is the only market which stands out, and the domestic liquidity has been very strong.
So Anuj, one question here, and this one on the F&O space, something you track very closely. Now, what we saw, the rally we saw today was largely on short covering. Okay, the other way to look at it is that a lot of short positions are being built. So you have some kind of a contradiction there, right? Generally a positive view, but also people buying a lot of put options. So how do you kind of square these two trends?
Yeah, see, you know, when we say the market is extremely short, Santosh, it doesn't make sense because for every short, there's a long. Net-net market is neutral. There are 50% long, 50% short. So when we say the market is short or when the market is long, we are attributing it to a part of the market. I think when we say the market is extremely short, we are referring to the FII data. That FIIs are 80% short and only 20% long. And countering that, we have retail, which is actually at the highest ever long positions. In fact, FII net longs, or rather FII net shorts, are more than countered by the net longs of retail. So who wins? That is going to be the big battle, right? And who's smart money?
Who's smart money?
In the past, it's been the retail money or the domestic money which has proven out to be smart money. Look, the FII money impacts moves in the near term. The domestic money really makes the bigger moves. The medium-term moves are all driven by the DII money and the domestic money. Make no mistake about that. The FII money, because it's hot money and it seriously impacts some of the big stocks, impacts sentiment. But real prices are made by domestic money. In fact, 3 out of 3 times in the past when we have FIIs short and domestic on the long side, it's the long side which won.
So Anuj, you see, the other key trend during the week was the underperformance of mid and small cap stocks. Of course, the Nifty and Sensex also fell 1%, but mid caps fell even harder. So what does that tell you about market sentiment?
We had discussed this, Santosh, last week as well, that if Nifty is below 17,200, which is what it was for some part, then mid caps will sort of underperform. And mid cap outperformance will return if the Nifty goes past 17,200, which happened sort of today, on Friday. So I think from here on, as long as 17,200 now is defended on the downside, roughly thereabout, I mean, we are still not above 17,200, intraday we did, but we didn't manage to close above that. If we manage to get past 17,200 and trade above that up until 17,500, the mid-cap outperformance will return. But if you start to trade below 17,200, I think mid-caps will fall. If you fall below 16,800, that's line in sand for me. I think the mid caps will capitulate, but that's not my base case.
Now, Anuj, you've been quite negative on the IT sector, and this week you've seen almost all the frontline companies coming out with the numbers, and some mid-cap players also like Mindtree. What do you make of the numbers, and how should an investor now look at this space?
I think in IT, the big trade of shorting just about everything and anything is over, which is what I've been talking for some time, that I was very bearish on IT. I'm selectively still very bearish on IT. I think Wipro has clearly proven that there are still headwinds in the sector. I think for me, the key stock to watch is Wipro, because Wipro is the lead indicator of the sector. Wipro started the rally, Wipro started the decline. And I think now also, whenever Wipro comes out and says that, okay, things are looking better, maybe the entire things change for sector itself. In this IT sector now, IT sector will now go through the kind of phase that pharma sector went through, which is 2 years back, which is that you can't have a secular view on the sector. You can have 6 months down the line, the top gainer from the IT space and top loser from the IT space. That's possible. Till now, it was a secular move. And the secular move is over.
And a stock-specific question here, Infosys. Now, the company has come out with its buyback. This is almost the third one in 4 years. Is buyback itself a good reason to buy the stock?
Maybe buyback will keep some kind of cushion for the stock, but market knew that the buyback was coming, Santosh. So, I think the way I look at Infosys is very simple. Infosys will outperform the IT sector. So, if IT sector falls at 10%, Infosys will fall 5%. If IT rallies 5%, Infosys will rally 10%. So that's how I look at things. I don't think Infosys has done enough to warrant going back to its previous highs. What Infosys could do, though, is that in the near term, it could do a mean reversion trade, which is get back to its 200-day moving average, which is around 100 rupees from here. But today's price action in IT was a bit suspect for me, because all of them started very well, but towards the end, Infosys included, couldn't really manage to close at the highest point of the day. So I think there are still headwinds Infosys as well. But it will outperform the IT pack. That goes without saying, because it's got its mojo back in terms of under-promising and over-delivering. And I think it's a blue-eyed boy of investor community. They always like to give a long rope to Infosys. So I think that may continue.
Often we see this fund managers having this either TCS or Infosys. So who's winning the race at this point in time?
Infosys, without a doubt. It's been doing that. But keep in mind, TCS, over a 3 or 4 year period before Infosys started to catch up, had run up so ahead of Infosys that it will still require a lot of catching up for Infosys.
So Anuj, we saw bank stocks making a strong comeback this week. Now, typically when interest rates rise, it's seen as a negative for PSU banks because they hold a lot of gilts in their treasury portfolio. So how does one look at this space now?
I think PSU banks have to be subdivided further between SBI and X of SBI. So I think SBI is more of a quasi-private bank now. For the rest of the PSU banks, Santosh, the call that the market has taken is that the worst of asset quality is over. And I think that is the big call. Because if that is the case, then these stocks are so cheap that, you know, my sense is that they will have 3 or 4 years of good runway ahead of them, because what they will do is with all the current NPA problems behind them, they will have fresh lease of life. They have capital with them now. They'll go out, make new mistakes, but before that, have some good time ahead of them. And, with the valuations in their favor, it's a cyclical play. It's a cycle which plays out every time with PSU banks. So you buy them when, you know, they get completely bombed out at 0.2 times price to book and with the asset quality at its absolute worst. By the time the cleanup is done, the stocks move to 0.8, 0.9 times price to book, by which the next set of problems start to appear. So rinse and repeat.
Some strong business update for Q2 from key developers like Shobha and Macrotech. But the sector as a whole fared poorly this week. In fact, the Realty Index was among the prominent losers. Now, what's the broader picture there looking like?
I think real estate as a sector is not lived up to its expectation. In fact, over a 1 year period, it's underperformed, Santosh. And I think Nilesh Shah was making a very interesting point that the rates for developers versus rates for end users, the differential is too high. And I think till the time that is the case, it's tough to see remarkable outperformance from real estate. My only worry is that, real estate has had some really good numbers in terms of sales data, etc. Still, the stock prices are not reflecting that. So, if, God forbid, there's another round of decline, then what happens? So, price-wise, clearly, it's been a bit of a disappointment.
Now, besides the companies that reported their Q2 earnings, any other stocks that caught your attention, Anuj?
Axis Bank, Santosh, because Axis Bank this month, up until that Max News came today, was the best performing banking stock. In fact, it took a lead over SBI and ICICI Bank as well. And I think in that, it's a very interesting thing to notice that Axis Bank, before this rally started, actually was almost at pre-COVID levels, while ICICI Bank and SBI had moved on 70-75% from the pre-COVID levels. Valuation-wise, Axis Bank is now, the gap between Axis and ICICI Bank is now at historically high levels. Normally, Axis and ICICI used to move together. Axis has also done almost same cleanup. Axis has also got a new vibrant management. So in that sense, the sense I got was that the market's willing to take a bit of a bet on Axis Bank now.
So what are the key events that you'll be keeping an eye out for in the week ahead, Anuj?
Well, the earnings season picks up now. Of course, the market will react to HDFC Bank's numbers on Monday. That, I think, is the most immediate near-term number to watch out for. Then I think I'll keep an eye on the bond market in the US and back home in India, because that's going to give some important signals about where inflation is headed. What does the market think of inflation? Because the money market tends to make a decisive move far earlier than the equity market. So these are a few things that I'll keep an eye on.
Just one last question. What about Avenue Supermart? Is that something?
Avenue is also something, but Avenue hardly ever disappoints. And even if it does, there's no floating stock. It's not available in F&O. So it hardly reacts negatively. I mean, every time it falls 10-15%, there's someone who comes and buys and it makes new high. So it trades at 85 times price to earnings. Obscenely expensive, but has been ever since its listing. So, once the stock is not in F&O, it doesn't become that much of a, to watch out for kind of stock. That is the problem with DMart.
Well, Anuj,
and that's my angst as well, that yeah. Why is it not in F&O?
You've spoken about it in the past also. Well, on that note, Anuj, thank you so much for sharing those insights with our listeners, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Santosh. I hope you have a good weekend, and to all our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in and have a good weekend.
Well, that's all that we have in the week on Dalal Street. Thank you for listening and hope you all have a wonderful weekend.